It's time for Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, talking everything tourism and exploring all that the Golden Heart City has to offer for visitors and residents alike. Brought to you by Explore Fairbanks, located in the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center in downtown Fairbanks. And now, here's the crew from Explore Fairbanks.
And good afternoon, KFAR listeners. Happy Saturday. Welcome to the January 27th edition of the Explore Fairbanks radio show. Scott McCray with Explore Fairbanks. I'm here, as I oftentimes am, in the studio with my colleague and co-host, Bill Wright, Director of Tourism and Meeting Sales.
That's right.
Bill, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. I think I might need to add, radio co-host onto my business title there.
We might have to do that. So
it's been a fun 6 months, though.
It has been a fun six months. And it's hard to believe it's getting close to the end of January. Winter most assuredly has been upon us.
Yes,
the last week.
Guaranteed
winter. And it doesn't seem to be slowing down any things within the industry. You know, driving around town today, they're bundled up. There's people are here for those amazing winter adventures that only Fairbanks can offer.
That's right. And the locals, too, are having fun with
Absolutely.
Winter.
Yeah. And it's great because we get into February and March, and that's when we get a flurry of our annual winter activities and events, and one that we're especially excited for. Taking place next Saturday, February 3rd, is the Yukon Quest. And joining us here in the studio today to talk about all things Yukon Quest Alaska, we have Lisa Nilsson, the executive director of the race. Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me, Scott and Bill. Thank you, guys.
Got to acknowledge the co-host.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much for joining us in the studio today. And we always like to begin the show by kind of getting to know our guests a little more, letting our listeners get to know our guests a little more. So tell us a little about yourself. I know you're third generation Fairbanksan, no stranger here to the Golden Heart City. A lot of people in Fairbanks who are familiar with another popular winter sport, hockey, might recognize your maiden name, Lighty, from the hockey world here in Fairbanks. So tell us the Lisa story.
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, third generation Alaskan. They either know Lighty, my dad is Bruce, or I'm a Miles girl. My mom is one of the Miles girls.
Ah.
I'm born and raised in Fairbanks, big into the hockey community. I've basically played it as long as I've known. And I actually coach, I always say that I have 17, 14-year-old girls of my own. But I coach now and it's great. But with that, I kind of got into some skills that allowed me to take over this position now. I worked in UIF athletics for like 2 or 3 mm-hmm. years, and that allowed me to like make a lot of connections in Fairbanks and just learn a lot of skills and a lot of like the confidence that I really needed to have this role. And that's actually where I met Randy Pitney. He has been helping the Quest for a little while and is just like a huge Quest supporter, just loves the Quest. And he kind of got me into this role and I just saw him out and about and he was like, you know what, I think you would really be perfect for it. And you don't need to know anything about mushing. And I said, are you sure about that? And he assured me I didn't. I keep saying it would be a little bit easier, but it's been a huge, huge, huge learning year. And it's been so fun. I'm just a sports gal through and through. And it's so fun learning so much about a sport that is so close to home that I've really never been a part of. And so it's been really, really unique and a really great experience. But yeah, it's a little backstory of me and how I got here, I guess.
And you came on board as of September of last year?
August.
August last year.
August,
okay.
Yeah. So I started in August. So definitely a little bit of catch up this year as we're getting ready for the race. It feels like I've just been playing catch up all year. So, but I'm excited. It's all going to go off without a hitch. And we got a lot of supporters and everything's going to run so smoothly. So
absolutely that. So, yeah. Well, Lisa, let's shift gears a bit. And well, let's talk about the Yukon Quest. And, you know, it's a race. It's undergone a pretty significant transformation, you know, since the pandemic, back when it was the 1,000-mile Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race. So the current race, or I guess I'll say races rather, because there's more than one, might not be the 1,000-mile race that it used to be, but it's still very much an exciting one for racers as well as spectators. So Talk to us about the new Yukon Quest, what it looks like here on the Alaskan side. What are those three different races and the course that they follow?
Yeah, so last year we did a 550. I believe our goal is the 550 is our big race, and we had to drop it down last minute to like a 300. So We just followed in suit with that for this year, and actually had some mushers request for the 300 this year. So this year we're doing a 300 mile, a 200 mile, and I believe this is our second year of the 80 mile fun run, which is really, really a cool race for us to have. It allows 14 year old and up people, any and all ages, and we have 14-year-olds and we have 60-year-olds signed up for the 80-mile fun run. So that's really exciting. That's starting the same day, just a little bit later, so that they can hopefully finish a little bit later, like 7 a.m. instead of like 3 a.m., right? but yeah, so races this year, we have our 300-mile race. It is going Fairbanks, Two Rivers, Mile 101, Central, Circle, and then we'll finish back in Central. The 200 mile race is going to do the same thing. They're just not going to Circle, so they're just going to finish in Central. And then our 80 mile is going to Two Rivers or Pleasant Valley, and then back to Fairbanks the next morning. And so yeah, all three of those races, we have a lot of excitement now. But the big excitement is we haven't had a Second Avenue start since 2014. So that has been a task in itself, but we will be starting on Second Avenue right in front of the co-op, and we're so excited for that. And
that's great.
Yeah, it's been a few hoops to jump through, but it's going to work out so well. And I went door to door in a lot of businesses and tried to stop in where I could, and all positive. Everybody is so excited to have the Quest start downtown, which feels so awesome to have that amount of support. So that's been really great.
Well, that's
great. They used to have the sprint races starting downtown too. It was just a regular thing. Just, you know, plan on there being some dog races downtown. And then it just kind of went away, which was sort of a sad feature, although On the River's fun. But
yeah.
I think it's great that we can clear the streets and make it a really downtown event.
Well, there's not many communities out there within the U.S. that can have a major sled dog race take place within their downtown area without having to bring in snow for it.
Yeah. We'll bring in snow from different areas so that it's like safe for dogs and whatnot. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool it's easier for spectators because it's not on the river. It's safer for spectators. And it's really cool for those local businesses that are right along Second Avenue that will have a lot of people popping in that maybe you won't always. So I think it's kind of really cool across the board for everybody.
Absolutely. And that'll take place that's February 3rd?
February 3rd. Yep. We have our 300 directly followed by our 200 mile start. That's at 11 a.m. And then we have our 80 mile start. That's a little bit later at 3 p.m.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And the mushers don't, how do the mushers choose which event they're going to enter?
I don't know. That's entirely up to them, I guess.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so, not by draw or something.
No, they choose the mileage and the race that they want to enter. And then from there, we also have our Meet the Mushers event, which is kind of a cool thing. So that's on Thursday night. So Thursday, February 1st from 5 to 9-ish. People can come and get their first glimpse of merchandise for this race and a poster and get it signed and meet all of the mushers so they know exactly who they're cheering for and really like root for their favorites. But it's also our bib draw. So that kind of helps our mushers figure out what order that they're going to be going in for Saturday. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, they've all signed up and have their 100% race that they're going to be in as of Friday night at 11:59 p.m. So, yeah, we're all set for that.
I would suspect some of the mushers who are choosing that longer option, the 350 miler rather, probably looked at too as a training. They might be doing the Iditarod, next month too.
Yeah, and some have definitely have that goal in mind when they applied, and it's like what is your goal? And some just are using it as a really great training for that, and some just flat out love the Quest, whatever mileage it is. They just love running the Quest, which is also awesome. And then our goal is to extend it, so hopefully it is longer in the near future and see what that looks like. But everybody's kind of racing it for many, many reasons. It might be their first year racing at all, and they're doing the 80 mile. They might have raced for, we have some that have raced for decades and just love the Quest and just want to be a part of it. So
that's a great part about it, the rich history of the Quest, which, remains on even with the changes there. Mm-hmm. Mushers, who used to do it back in its original format, the Quest was always unique because it was the tougher version of the Iditarod. It wasn't as commercialized as the Iditarod. So I think there was a real sense of pride in competing in that race and some of the most difficult terrain and weather conditions you could possibly find.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it sounds like for sure. I heard, and of course, me of not being a musher and being new to this route and all of that, it's really cool to kind of hear what people are saying about it. Some certain areas, they're like, oof, I don't want to do that, but I want to race the quest. And it's just like funny hearing different areas and things like that of like how difficult the terrain could be and try to make it as safe as possible for everybody involved, though.
And with the course for the 350 miler, it does go upon the Yukon River. Am I correct in that? So there is still kind of a Yukon connection there?
Yeah. 300 miler. Yeah. So that is our goal. And we've got our trail crews that are kind of out there to make sure that everything is looking as safe as possible and making sure we can still do all the things we had hoped and lay out stakes and all of that. So I know that they're really hard at work there to make sure. But the goal, yes, Yukon River, and then, of course, hopefully then extending that for future as well. But, Absolutely. Yeah, I think the goal has always been to be back on the Yukon River for the Yukon Quest, for sure.
Yeah, the Chena Quest just didn't have the nice ring
doesn't
to it.
Doesn't have that ring.
It doesn't make it as much of a good sweater to try and sell. If you're just joining us here, we are talking to Lisa Nielsen, Executive Director of the Yukon Quest, taking place next Saturday, February 3rd. Lisa, you started talking about the mushers, so let's go into more detail on that. And are there, within this year's lineup, within the three races, are there some mushing rock stars who are out there that are competing this year, some notable names? And then, two, as far as where they're coming from, is it largely interior Alaska-based mushers or coming from other parts of the state as well?
Yeah, we've had a lot of our mushers seem to be from Alaska or at least train in Alaska or whatnot. So that's kind of fun. For our 80 mile, we have 17. For our 200 mile, we have 6. And for our 300 mile, we have 17. So we have a really good, amount there. We've got 40 mushers signed up, which is awesome. So, I mean, from our 80 mile, a lot of people in the mushing community recently heard Emily Robinson. She just won the Kinnick 200 and beat out some amazing, amazing mushers. Also, all of these mushers, this is me being in the mushing community for a few months and just like hearing names. And I'm like, they seem like great. But Emily Robinson is one where she is in our 80 mile fun run. She is a younger musher and she just won the Kinnick 200. So I think everybody is excited to see how she's going to do for this race. Other than that, I think my personal excitement is I talked about the 80 mile and how our goal is to kind of use that to encourage younger mushers and to kind of lean into those longer races. So Steve Humes, I hope I'm saying his last name right, he actually did our 80 mile last year and is one of our 300 mile mushers this year. So I'm really excited. I'm very excited to see him and how he does. But other than that, a few names that people will know are Brent Sass, Burke, Christy Barrington. His name is Deke. His last name is quite long, but I am assured and I'm really excited to see him. And then Ron Boozer as well. He's also
The Boozer family, race. Martin Boozer.
Boozer's son. So we've got a really a good lineup of a lot of really well-known mushers signed up for our races. So we're really excited to see all of them. I'm excited to like interact with some of them too. So yeah, it'll be great.
Brent Sass is definitely, I'll put him in the rock star category. Wild and Free mushing. I believe he's won the quest, both the earlier rendition and the new rendition, but like a 6-time winner of the quest. He's competing in the Iditarod. He's amazing. I crush on him a bit. I'm not a big dog musher follower, but Brent Sass, yeah, he's definitely the man there. And so what exciting part of what you're trying to do, Lisa, you've mentioned this in a previous interview, is trying to get younger mushers, you know, involved in the event. Why is that important to the organization and to dog mushing?
Yeah, that's super important. And that's kind of super important with any sport or hobby or activity, right? You want to get younger people involved so that they can learn the history, they can have respect for it, and they can just then do it for the rest of their lives and be the future people to sign up for our 300 and 200 and longer races and whatnot. So it's really great for us to have this 80-mile fun run to kind of give some younger or newer people that are newer to the sport access to be able to hone their skills and train in a shorter race that is a little bit easier to manage so that they can get their footing. And it's really just good to kind of grow the sport and make sure that we will have mushers for years and decades to come.
That's the hope. That's exciting to hear. You know, dog mushing plays such a critical role in the history of Alaska for a number of reasons. That's exciting to see that focus there on let's have this continue in the years to come. So, yeah, bravo on that. We're going to take a quick station break here, Lisa. You've been listening to Lisa Nilsson, Exec Director of Yukon Quest, here on the Explore Fairbanks Radio Show. More after this.
We will continue to explore Fairbanks right after this short message from our sponsors.
Escape into the wild winter wonders of Alaska with Rod's Alaskan Guide Service, your gateway to unforgettable adventures right here in Fairbanks. Whether you're a seasoned outdoor enthusiast or a first-time adventurer, Rod's Alaskan Guide Service offers memorable and authentic experiences for everyone, including dog sledding, snow machining, ice fishing, and aurora viewing. At Rod's Alaskan Guide Service, their goal is for their seasoned guides to give each customer a peek into Alaska's wild side with a personal touch. So book your next adventure now at rodsalaskanguideservice.com or call 907-378-1851 for Rod's Alaskan Guide Service.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's websites and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30. Brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company. Followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m. And Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now back to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio.
And welcome back to the program. We are going to continue our conversation here in the studio with Lisa Nilsson, the Executive Director of Yukon Quest Alaska. The race begins downtown Fairbanks, bringing it back here to the heart of the Golden Heart City, Saturday, February 3rd. Lisa, let's talk a little bit about a program that's very important to what the Yukon Quest is about and what really dog mushing is all about. And that's about the safety and care of the dogs. The Quest has the program, the Yukon Quest Veterinary Program. Tell us a little about that program, what it involves, and how much focus there is both from the organization and the mushers on the well-being of the dogs. We say that because this isn't something that we deal with here in Fairbanks or in Alaska, but Bill and I, as we interact with visitors, you know, from, you know, around the country or, you know, and around the world. And dog mushing comes up, and there's oftentimes that misperception of dog mushing being, well, isn't that animal cruelty? And that's no, that's furthest from the truth there. So mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the care of the dogs.
Yeah, so our vet program is definitely something that I'm still learning a lot about. But I think the number one thing is, and it's not everybody, right? But most people, and a lot of the times, these dogs are treated better than people. We do everything we can. We have a bunch of veterinarians, vet techs, vet students, and a bunch of people that volunteer their time with the sole purpose to make sure that these dogs are safe and healthy throughout the entirety of the race. So kind of a part of that is we have vet checks. So we have some of our vets, our race marshals, all of our teams have to participate in it or get signed off from another vet to make sure within just a few days of the race. So it's actually that Thursday and Friday right before the race, all of their dogs come in and get full exams to make sure and full workups to make sure that they're healthy enough to run and to race the whole thing. So that's always definitely really, really great. But then after that, our vets are at every single checkpoint to make sure that our dogs and our mushers have that support that they need to make sure that they can go on. And of course, there's times here and there that dogs have to be pulled out and scratched and whatnot, and there's extra dogs to pop in or whatnot, or they'll just be down a dog. But definitely have the support of the vets to make sure that they're still very well taken care of, handlers, all of those things. Also for our big, I spaced about this. I'm not sure if it's for a 200, but I am 100% positive for a 300 mile. And I'm pretty sure we have at least one checkpoint required for a 200. But there are mandatory stops that, and there's two in our 300 mile race. There are two separate mandatory stops that each team must be evaluated by a vet so that they make sure that they're healthy and able to go on. So there's really a lot of things that happen before, during, and even after sometimes to make sure that the dogs are healthy and taken care of to the best of everybody's abilities and are able to safely and healthy run the race the whole time and all that. So we definitely have our main focus of like dog health and safety, and of course our musher volunteers, all of that. We want to make sure everybody's is safe while running these races. But yeah, we put a lot of thought, and our vet team is really, really awesome. We've got a head vet that has been around for years and maybe even decades. She's been awesome. So we've got a lot of people with a lot of experience able to support us in that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I'd have to agree with your statement at the beginning there that a lot of times mushers take better care of their dogs than many people take care of their own family members. You know, with the longer races, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a longer race or a shorter race, they get to that checkpoint. That's their number one priority before they take care of themselves in any manner is make sure those four-legged critters who are pulling mm-hmm. them to the next stop is well taken care of.
It's kind of like sports medicine for other sports, you know, that you have the professionals standing on the sidelines, wait, you know, ready for any contingency, and it's very important for all of the species that are out there competing.
Yep, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. So let's talk a little more about the for spectators for watching the race. You know, we mentioned so exciting to see that start coming back to downtown Fairbanks on 2nd Avenue. That's going to make for a great event down there. But what are the ways beyond the downtown location for the start there that spectators can watch portions of the race? Checkpoints that are accessible by road. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are loyal Quest fans. They've got a team that they're rooting for. They want to try to see them as many places as possible.
Yeah, so, we talked about downtown. Downtown's really easy for anybody in Fairbanks to come and watch. But actually, every single one of our checkpoints is able to have spectators. Now, some are maybe more spectator-friendly than others.
Sure.
So I talked about we have Two Rivers, or Pleasant Valley is really what it is. So we have Pleasant Valley, Mile 101, Central and Circle. So Mile 101 is the one that's maybe not too spectator-friendly. We have one of our big sponsors. They pull out a big trailer and make sure that we're set up. So it's really just a big location that we set up for as long as we need for the race, 24, 48 hours, and then that's it. So there's people are able to be there, but there's no like facilities truly for people to be able to like sit back, relax, and enjoy. It's very much making sure people are taken care of and for volunteers, all those things. So, but for Two Rivers and Pleasant Valley, that's a good one and maybe an easy one for some spectators to go out to. They've got the Pleasant Valley Store, the Missing Moose Cafe, and Wagoner's Pizza Bus. Central, we've got a restaurant, bar, hotel, convenience store, gas station, all the things out there. And it's just at the intersection of Stees Highway and Circle Hot Springs Road. And then in Circle, there's a B&B where some people, some avid fans will go out there and rent a room and stay out there to watch people as they come through. The school is offering sleeping position or sleeping availability for a small fee. There's lots of people making sure that we can support spectators of our race. And our main ask is, well, I guess we have two big asks. Number one would just be, as a spectator, wherever you go, whatever you do, just make sure you keep out an eye for the dog teams, because they will be crossing and they mm-hmm. will be moving throughout. And just make sure that you're keeping an eye out for them at all times. And then if you do go to any of these checkpoints, make sure that you're supporting those local businesses. We really encourage our handlers and any spectators to buy food from the general store and to buy pizza from somebody's making homemade pizza, I believe, in Circle. And we really encourage you guys to use those local stores, because these businesses are the main reason why we're able to make this race happen and have such great checkpoints. So that's definitely, they support us a lot, and we would really, really love to support them in that as well.
That's great. Yeah, it's important for those communities that are involved there to have that appreciation coming back to them. So that's nice to hear. Okay, so for those spectators who, so I don't want to leave the house that weekend, it's going to be cold. How is it, can they track the race online? What's the option for doing it in that format?
Yeah, so we're going to have... again, I'm new to this, so I'm not exactly sure 100% how the spot trackers work, but we have spot trackers that are with every single musher, and you're able to live track them, I hear, and I believe you're able to live track them as they move throughout the race. So that's an option, and we will make sure to post all of this information on our website too. But also our website will have checkpoint-specific like time in and time out, so you can kind of see how your musher is doing, how many, if they've dropped a dog, when they show up, how long they spend. So we should have times and whatnot, and posting that on our website as frequently as possible. Basically, as soon as people arrive, they're supposed to write it down, call the office for or call our communications office or whatnot, and we should be updating that frequently, 24/7 during the race. So. There's definitely ways there, and yeah, all of it will be on our website, and we're still nailing down some specifics on that, but yeah.
Plenty of time to do that. So there's, so among those who are going to be watching on, you know, online is outside school groups in the lower 48. Mm-hmm. You have the Adopt a Musher program for teachers and classrooms, both in and out of Alaska. How's that program looking for this year for signups and participation in that?
Yeah, so this year, yeah, like a lot in the lower 48, but a lot in Alaska as well. It's really great. We have 33 classes across 17 states, and about 1,100 students signed up to cheer on the quest and our mushers. So that's really exciting, and they get to hear some of them get to see videos and get their questions answered from their mushers and all of that. So it's definitely really fun for them to be involved as well.
Very cool. That. So, Elisa, Yukon Quest and Explore Fairbanks, we both have something in common, and that is the historic log cabin over on First Avenue. It used to be our visitor information center for many years. I actually managed it back in 98, one of my first jobs out of college, before I moved over to the Morris Thompson Center. So tell us what people can find these days, and, you know, my old stomping grounds there. I imagine because of its key location, you know, bring this back to the visitor street, because where you are in front of Golden Heart Plaza, summertime with coaches being dropped off down there, probably see a lot of people coming through there asking questions about the quest and so forth. I say all this and ask this under knowing that you weren't there last summer. So,
I wasn't there last summer, but definitely still would have people be dropped off well into August and September. And I think they're just excited about the race in general. But at our office, we have hoodies and beer glasses and all sorts of little goodies and Alaskan goodies, all related to mushing. That is definitely good to bring back to your loved ones. So that's definitely fun. And we have what I call the glue. Her name is Barb, and she is our store manager. And
oh, yes.
She tells so many good stories about the quest. So if you ever have any questions, yeah, stop in. We're open starting at 11 Monday through Friday, and come get some quest gear.
Excellent there. And there's opportunities to buy. People might be listening outside of Fairbanks, buy that online as well?
Yes, you can buy that online. That is also one of our hopes post-race to revamp our website revamp our online store so that it's really easy to buy your quest goodies and bring them home for you to share. So
wonderful, Lisa. Well, thank you so much for joining us in studio today. Where can people, what's the website people can go to for more information?
Yeah, of course. Our website is yukonquestalaska.com. And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram at yukonquestalaska. So you can find us there. And yeah.
Wonderful. 1 week till the race.
1 week.
Very exciting. You've been listening to Explore Fairbanks Radio Show. Our guest has been Lisa Nielsen with the Yukon Quest Alaska. The big race begins February 3rd, downtown Fairbanks. Don't miss it. We'll see you next time.
You got it.
You have been listening to Explore Fairbanks on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past shows, simply log on to our website and click on the archives page. Explore Fairbanks has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.